Now let's keep on playing that music. Richard has chosen the music today, and he has done a masterful job. Gosh, maybe I don't have to do that anymore. This is Bruce Salen. Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@brucesalen.com. That's Bruce and Salen, S-A-L-L-A-N. You can tweet me at Bruce Salen, and by all means, follow the A Dad's Point of View Facebook page. If you are not on Facebook and you're a parent, you're not doing your job. Your kids are on Facebook. You need to be on Facebook, too. We are having a special show all about money, 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 which is the title of this week's A Dad's Point of View column. And I have special guest Jim Scheinberg from North Peer Fiduciary Management in studio with me. He is my regular guest for Family Financial Matters. And we've been talking about budgets and planning and how families could do that. So, Jim, why don't you continue with that all too important and often overlooked tool that families should employ?
Well, you know, I can start with I told you so for most of the people who are listening who are already married, because the first comment is a lot of this planning should be done before a husband and wife get together in the first place. And I mean, I'm sure if you took a poll out there and you asked people how many of you got together and negotiated or shared a common and joint vision about money, finances, houses, retirement before you got married, I think it would probably be less than 1 out of 10.
Well, during the break, my producer was telling me about how he and his wife have employed unbelievable success. Isn't that true, Richard? Yeah, he's nodding with a big, like, I wish it were so.
Right. So, you know, a stitch in time obviously can save nine. But let me address that for a second. If you are not married or you may be looking at a second marriage down the road, it's really important. As a matter of fact, and we talked about this off air, you let in about how important of a topic money is amongst families. It's the number one reason still to this day for divorce in America. So not
I thought it was shoes and handbags.
And electronics and new and new cars.
Which actually, of course, is just amplification. You actually did tell me that it is a legitimate statistic, an affirmed reality that the number one cause of breakup is money issues between couples.
Yeah, absolutely.
So planning and budgeting is therefore will help you avert those disasters.
So it's much more difficult, I think, to go back and do this after the horse has left the barn, but still much better than not doing it at all.
Okay, so give us some ideas. What do we need to do? What do families need to do? What do you mean by planning and budgeting?
Okay, so generally speaking, you've got the weekly, daily, monthly, annual budgets of a family, and then you have the big picture items. And the big pictures are generally children's education, home purchases, and retirement. Okay.
So are you saying the best way to do it is do it on the fly?
Yeah, make it up as you go along.
Okay, that's what I thought.
As a matter of fact, cash your paycheck every week, stick it into a big jar, and then your wife
will take whatever you need.
Your wife will stand at one end of the room, and you stand at the other end of the room, put the jar in the middle, and have one of your children blow a whistle. And whatever you can grab out of the can, there's your budget.
Well, you have just figuratively described how most people live.
Absolutely.
So get back to what we need to do that would be a little bit more helpful.
So there are two major budgets, if you will, or two major plans that need to be created, because a budget is nothing more than a plan. And the first one, the regular annual, monthly, weekly budget, whatever period of time you're going to look at, that's something that everybody needs to have a shared vision on, whether it's a one-income house or a two-income house. Are you going to live at 100% of your means? Are you going to live at 80% of your means? Are you going to live at 110% of your means, like a lot of people were doing up until 2008? And so right then and there, you need to start with a number that you both agree upon. Then you can back into how that money is going to get expended. But until you can agree on how much of a saver you're going to be and how much of a spender you're going to be, then all the other budgeting is really just tabulation. And by the way, that's the mistake that most people make. So the biggest error I see in financial planning these days, and we work mostly with institutions, but I know a lot of people in the financial planning space, the biggest error is when they take that questionnaire, that 49-page questionnaire in triplicate from people to do their financial plans, they ask them to provide a budget. But what they're really asking for them to do is add up everything you're already spending. That's not a budget.
That's a wish list.
That's an accounting.
Yeah.
And so what you want to do is you want to sit down once you've determined what your actual percentage of income budget's going to be. Then you want to sit down and you want to agree and get a shared vision on how much goes to groceries, how much goes to vacation, how much is getting put away for retirement, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the one thing, by the way, and I know this is a little off topic for men and women, but this applies to anybody, whether you're single or whether you're a family, is don't forget to pay yourself like a bill. You have to write a check for savings just like you write a check for your mortgage or your car payment. Because if your savings plan, and the biggest mistake in the world today
is whatever's left over, we'll save.
That's right. Right. That's right. And guess what ends up being left over?
A big fat zero.
Yes, because most people will end up spending most of what they make. So in the very least, set aside, right along with all the other bills, set aside that automatic withdrawal every single month.
That's the best way, I would
absolutely
say. Make it automatic.
Absolutely. And then so if there's anything left over, then, you know.
You know, we talked about the 20% rule of mine. I actually have had another 20% rule my whole life. My parents taught me this. And that was I save 20% of my income, whatever it is. It started when I was a paper boy. And I was making, obviously, you know, very little money. And it continued on through my showbiz career when I actually made big money. I pretty much saved 20% of what I made, period. And it was not to be violated. So what you're saying is if a couple plans early, they're going to save 5, 10, 15, 20%. Especially a young couple that gets married where their income can increase, they should stick with that percentage, which means they'll save more money-wise as time goes on and their incomes increase, God willing.
And they get an increase in lifestyle. As a matter of fact, and let me make sure I put this offer out there, because I just wrote a 2-page how-to guide on to do exactly what you're talking about. And by the way, it's not fancy. It's just a real in-your-face kind of direct. This is how you save, whether it's 20% or 15 or 30. This is how you get to your number if you're not already there. And it's called Pay Yourself First, by the way. So if any of your listeners want, I'd be more than happy to send that to them free of charge. Send me an email at info@npeer.com, and I'll be happy to send that off to them. And so it doesn't tell you just how to do the 20, but what if you're spending 106% of what you make right now? How do you get to 20? That can seem like an impossible task. It's actually not. It's actually pretty easy to do. It takes a little bit of time, but it's easy to do. So I'd be happy to pass that information on.
That's info@npeer.com, where you can also get Jim's quarterly newsletter. But let's go back to the planning. It all comes back to planning and budgeting. You need to do that, and sooner versus later, ideally before you get married, just to repeat what you said. But it is never too late, certainly early in a marriage, and certainly before you have kids, because kids are a very serious distraction. So if you have no idea of how you're going to save, you don't really want to do that when you're sleep deprived with babies screaming in the middle of the night.
Or in an argument about the credit card bill that just came in. I mean, that's not the time to negotiate a good plan. The time to negotiate a good plan is when you're not thinking about money. That's the best time.
And when you're not stressed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, we covered the annual budget, we'll say, but obviously you can break that down into smaller time periods. But what about big purchases? What about the house that you, well, I want to spend this and you want to spend this plus 20? And God knows that conversation happens time and time again about houses and cars. So when you sit down and what's the new car going to be, a lot often the man wants the nicer model up. And a lot of times when you're looking at houses, the woman would want the nicer house on the block. And of course, generalities, these role reversals get flipped more and more and more every day. But you can see when couples don't agree on major items and a shared vision of those things, that's where you can have conflicts. So those also should be talked about as early as possible, if not before a marriage starts. And the other one that ironically never gets talked about, I mean, it's in all of my life, I've never run into somebody who had this conversation before about 5 to 10 years before they went to retire.
And that is?
A shared view about when you retire. I mean, if one person who's working may want to retire at 57, the other one might not want him home until he's 69. So
exactly.
You need to have that conversation as well. And by the way, that's how you build into the other plan, which is the most important, which is the saving for retirement plan. And that's the lifelong budget, if you will. So clearly you need to sit down and have that conversation.
When the husband and wife disagree, Do you can you offer the psychologist hat any way in which to mediate that? I don't mean you personally, but how should they mediate that?
Well, actually, we can mediate that personally.
I know that. I know that.
But what's amazing to me is that there isn't a whole industry involved in mediating that. I mean, we've got family counselors and couple counselors, and I mean, they've got all sorts of counselors for couples. And the one counselor that I don't know of in a particular industry is that family financial counselor. I'm not talking about an investor or a family financial planner. I mean somebody
to help arbitrate.
Get in the room, you pay them for an hour, and they arbitrate these things.
That's really interesting. Well, we're going to have to take a break. This is the Bruce Salin Show with Dad's Point of View. We will be back with Jim Scheinberg from North Peer Fiduciary Management after these messages. Stay tuned for more talk on money, money, money.